The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing to dividing the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We press on this evening in the doctrine of the United States and prophecy. We are in Roman numeral 8, where we'll pick up, or 13, excuse me, page 5 of our notes. Learn to read Roman numerals, I'll be all right. All right, well, it's commendable that we are fulfilling Hebrews 10:25 this evening. It's not truly good, that is, divine good, unless we're in fellowship. It is only by the filling of God the Holy Spirit can the believer priest truly serve God in action with honor. And only in under filling God the Holy Spirit can we assimilate the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature. When we engage in personal sin, we get out of fellowship. Our sin nature rules over our life. To get back in fellowship is the application of 1 John 1:9, the rebound technique. Whereas in our prayer confession, we are once again refilled with God the Holy Spirit. In this capacity, then, we take the enemy to doctrine, our flesh, and set it aside, put it in his cage, so to speak, and let God the Holy Spirit truly enlighten us with respect to what he has written as the ultimate author of the scriptures in this vein. So as is our custom, to make sure that we benefit once again this evening from the time spent, we give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, thank you for positive volition in time. Thank you for that provision that you have made for positive volition to truly have the boast, if they so desire, to know you and your plan in life. We thank you for that perfect plan. We ask you to bless us in regards to our assimilation of it, that we are not hearers only, but we are also doers of your word, and therefore utilize the benefit of Bible doctrine in regards to its maximum advantage, and that is the glorification of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all eternity, of which we will share in his inheritance in this vein. All this being God the Holy Spirit, we ask you enlighten us to the truth at hand once again this evening, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. While much of the world is scratching their heads and trying to figure out what the hell is going on with Bible doctrine, we can maintain a proper balance and have an accurate perception in regards to the world at hand and the world at large and all of the nefarious activities that is obviously going on around us, especially as it impacts our own country today, a country founded on Christian principles that has abandoned those principles, and now the stage is being set to provide the platform necessary for the ultimate antagonist and enemy of God, Jesus Christ, the Antichrist, to take the stage and perform his short-lived but obviously impactful actions and agenda under the rulership of Satan in regards to the period of the tribulation. And our role as the United States is that we are none other than the fulfillment of prophetic Babylon with this arm spiritually in personification of the nation Edom in regards to the last days. We are the political entity, again, that has just as Esau has rejected our spiritual heritage. And God now is going to take and has decreed that because of that, because of our culpability, he is going to bring judgment upon us. The enemy, the tool that God will use to execute his judgment, is none other than the bear, that is Russia, the enemy of the North, along with their allies. And as Revelation makes it very clear, in 1 hour, one day, that judgment will be executed, and our nation will be essentially annihilated. And once again, in that respect, it will never again be inhabited only by the wild beasts of the land as a memento in regards to our evil in history and in time, and God's reaction and disposition to it in terms of judgment, not unlike that of what occurred many, many years ago to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, which we dealt with in Genesis 18 and 19. Because of the vice of homosexuality, God was displeased with them, and he executed a judicial judgment in time upon them as a people and eradicated them. And all we have now is a mar on planet Earth filled with the Dead Sea, as it is known, the wasteland that is essentially worthless apart from those who want to take their mud baths and try to get rid of their wrinkles in their old age. And that's Roman numeral 8 as we are looking here. And we compare the destruction of America is compared to the very destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in that respect. So Roman numeral 13, comparison of America's destruction with that of Sodom and Gomorrah. Isaiah 13:19 brings that about. In Babylon, the beauty of kingdoms, prophetic Babylon, the glory of the Chaldeans' prize. Chaldeans were Anglo-Saxons. Anglo-Saxons were the predominant race that inhabited this land and took over it and settled it, displacing the Native American tribes, as has always been in history when a superior civilization comes in and takes over those who are less in advantage in regards to their own means of defense and things of this nature. So Chaldeans here equals the Anglo-Saxons that are the forerunners, if you will, the settlers in regards to prophetic Babylon. And the beauty of kingdoms will be, continuing verse 19, as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And remembering back when we went through those chapters, it was not a pretty picture. And God rained fire and brimstone. The judgment was by fire. That's exactly the kind of judgment that the United States is going to face in the 1 hour, one day. It will be a judgment by fire. And Jeremiah 50:40 also validates this principle. As when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah with his neighbors, obviously there were suburban cities surrounding the area at that point in time. The landscape then was very lush and productive, etc. Obviously is no longer like that today. And as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah with his neighbors, declares the Lord, no man will live there, nor will any man, son of man, reside in it. It has never, that area, particular geographical area in the Middle East, has not ever been resettled, if you will, re-inhabited to any extent since its destruction. So, as it was with Sodom and Gomorrah, no warning other than what we know occurred with Lot and his family was given to the inhabitants, the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah. Grace always precedes judgment, but after a while, grace gets its belly full, and judgment will occur as grace is removed. So for both entities, it is unexpected, it is sudden, it is a surprise. Isaiah 13:19 again, we saw that. Jeremiah 47:11. No, it's Isaiah 47:11, sorry. I'll steer us there sooner or later. Isaiah 47:11. that evil will come on you. This is prophetic in regards to the far future Babylon in view, the political Babylon, as these major passages we have dealt with that in detail. That evil will come on you, which you will not know how to charm away, and disaster will fall on you, for which you cannot atone. Once we reach that place in history, there is no going back. There are no second chances. It's just like people, believers, can make decisions in life where they forfeit any second chance in regards to being prize contenders, such as going to the depravity of spiritual destruction where they may turn around and deny Jesus Christ as Savior, etc. They have made a volitional choice, a determination in their mind that will not be undone, as we have dealt with that particular principle. And so it will be at that one hour, one day, there is no more second chances. If you are still inhabiting this country, you will feel the heat of God's wrath. And disaster will fall on you, for which you cannot atone. Continue verse 11. The destruction about which you do not know will come on you suddenly. So all the sophisticated spy techniques and technology and all these things that our country boasts that we have, a lot of good is going to do us. A lot of good is going to do us when this occurs. So be paralleling the two here. Believers were and will be delivered, even the raunchiest. In Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his family, his daughters, were delivered. And not unlike totally, even though obviously different, angels were involved in that deliverance, just like angels will be involved in regards to giving citizens of the United States a warning to get the hell out of Dodge. Dodge being code for a prophetic Babylon, which is code for a prophetic Edom, which is code for the United States. And Lot was a reversionist, but he was a believer. And believers will be given opportunity, whether or not they take advantage of it. Obviously, that will be their own determination, their own application or lack of it. If they don't, then that's their sin unto death. You're talking about good news. You could be the raunchiest person that walked on the face of this planet. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, guess what? You got a ticket straight to the third heaven. Everybody thinks that getting to heaven is about being good, and we're not diminishing the importance of good. No, it is important, especially if you want to exhibit divine discipline in your life and other things that evil brings down upon us in a bad way. No, it's about faith in Jesus Christ. He went to the cross and he died for the sins, all sins of all men. So sins are no longer an issue. There's only one sin that remains that Jesus Christ could not die for, and that is the sin of unbelief. John makes that clear. That's why our works are like filthy menstrual rags to God, our righteous works in time. Keep the Ten Commandments and you can go to heaven. You know, all this nonsense that has been displayed through the Christian world over time. So see, again, destruction is by fire. And we note in parentheses, and fall out like Lot's wife. Lot, the daughters, escaped. Lot's wife, she had to look back. She was trying to cling on to the past. That's one of the things that when one is given a deliverance in time, especially from a life that may be of reversionism, and you really do got a fresh start, is not to let your STA go back and cling on to your past. Because your STA will work on you and work on you and work on you and will drag you right back to it. You move on. You reset your focus back on Bible doctrine, see. The lost wife, she hadn't looked back. This is where her heart was at because of the money, etc., that the lifestyle. And obviously, while you had the difference of technology, etc., the nature of men, the nature of people at that point in time is not unlike our society and as it's turned into today in regards to lifestyles. She went to go see her homosexual hairdresser, probably. You know, she's going to miss him. Whatever. D, there is a cessation of human, animal, and plant life produced in the desert. All domestic animals, any pets that may have been left behind, and all these kinds of things, they will be destroyed. Only those kind of animals that truly can survive in wilderness areas, like you see in movie shows, like in the Sahara Desert and Gobi Desert and things of that nature, only those kind of animals will be able to survive and re-inhabit any aspect of the terra firma within our national borders after the fact. E, there is a cessation of reversionism. God wipes them out. All the evil practices, all the reversionists that are involved in bringing the nation or the cities into their evil predicament before God is judged. Well, obviously, Sodom and Gomorrah was not a universal judgment like the flood was, and neither is our country in that terms. It still is a political and experiential judgment that occurs in time, and God overrules. You know, the naive, ignorant people out there in the world, all they can see is God being a bucket of love. And they do not understand God at all, those who hold to that type of mentality. And we don't deny His love. We understand it. It is the greatest of love that we can even perceive. But He's also, and first and foremost, righteous. Absolutely righteous. And He's absolutely just. And His justice demands that all unrighteousness is judged. And He has will. And this is what He wants for mankind under His directed will, is to bless man to the maximum. But because of men's negative volition of their SCAs, they reject God. They deny God. And they operate under sin nature. And they come under, ultimately, His overruling will. And everybody ultimately comes under God's overruling will in that vein. If not through a temporal judgment such as what will occur to our country as a whole, individually, through sin and the death. Death for the adjusted positive believer is not a judgment. It is a glorification of God. Of a job well done. It depicts and honors the individual that death does in regards to one who committed themselves to God's plan in their life. And glorifies God in that essence, in that vein, and is to be celebrated as such. F, and as it is on both occasions, the Lord causes it. As we've read other verses, certain things stick out as you're dissecting through this. And God's behind our destruction. God puts it in the minds of the Medes to do what they're going to do. Yeah, God can insert thoughts in people's heads. Now, obviously, what they're going to do with it is still their own volitional choice. But He perceives through His omniscience that indeed they will follow through with it. And He gives them the idea. See, He plants it in whatever means or fashion He does so. The lukewarm Christians out there in the world today, they look at these situations and it's just beyond them that God could ever do that to this country. And you see them post these big deals, pray for our country, for God to heal us and all this other stuff. And you want to get on there and say, don't you know any doctrine? Have you not read the Scriptures? as Jesus might say, or John the Baptist. Have you not read the scriptures? Now, obviously, God gives reprieve. Through God the Holy Spirit, He's continued to restrain the evil. Thank God. Imagine how bad it's going to get. We're just getting a taste of this stuff. So that church-age believers can run and complete their course. And this dispensation can finish its decreed time by God. So the Lord is behind it. God is in control of human history. He's in control of all circumstances and situations. Once, as a believer, you become adjusted to that, your faith rests that, you cling to that, then when you face your tests in life and things of this nature, you have a strength you can draw from. A comfort and encouragement you can draw from that you will not have otherwise. And maybe you've read the latest in regards to churches being attacked, like in Troy, New York, right outside Albany, upstate New York, a Baptist church. BLM supposed protests going on, assaulting the parishioners, both black and white congregants going into the church, yelling at him, screaming at him, assaulting the pastor. And you see pictures of the policemen just kind of standing around. Now, really, if people think that what's going on around us is all about race and things of this nature, you do not understand doctrine at all. What is occurring in our world today is a dismantling of societies seeking to bring people into conformity and control to prepare for the Antichrist. That's what's going on. See? It's either that or we're completely way off base in regards to our doctrine. That's all I can say to you. I said that to Ann the other night. I said, man, what if this doctrine is wrong? Well, you got a bumpy road ahead if it is. And if that's the case, all right, you can fire me. Go find you somebody else. He can do it for you. If you can show me a better candidate, I'll definitely take a look at it. But you show me a candidate that fits both the Eden and Babylonian profile that is provided for us in this prophecy and checks all the boxes, I'll take a look at it. But there is none other. There truly is not. Roman numeral 14. See, I can read these numbers. Various reactions to the fact of America's overthrow. Her citizens' hands hang limp, terrified. I mean, really, what can they do? All of a sudden, the TV does this little, used to have the little Indian profile on there, you know, the warning thing, go to the basement if you got one. If you don't, douse yourself with water, maybe it won't flash on quite so fast or whatever. You know, all the warnings. But when those missiles are in the air, that's it. That is it. I mean, it's going to be an onslaught of attack. And there is nothing that anybody can do. There will be a number of missiles so great that people will instantly recognize, this is it. This is it. And the impact it will have on their soul and their human psyche is sudden terror. There'll be weak need. Again, Isaiah 13, this one, verse 7. Therefore, all hands will fall limp and every man's heart will melt. whatever bravery, whatever courage people may claim to have in the face of death, this is going to have a psychological impact, probably not experienced by a mass of human race in the human race like this ever before. Be the visions of Isaiah 21, verses 3 and 4, produced for him mental and physical anguish. Just for the prophet of Isaiah, and having the vision of which he's seeking to pen now in the book and describe what he's seen, it shakes him to the core. Isaiah 21, verses 3 and 4. The oracle, verse 1, concerning the wilderness of the sea. As windstorms of the Negev sweep on, it comes from the wilderness, from a terrifying land. To a harsh vision has been shown to me. This is not no sweet dreams, Cheech and Chong. It's a harsh vision. The treacherous one still deals treacherously, and the destroyer still destroys. Denoting the continued ongoing life cycle and agenda and path that the countries involved are on. There is no ceasing. This is one reason why it will be overruled. There is no stopping it. Apart from God's direct divine intervention. Go on, Elam. Lay siege, Media. This is the satellites of Iran and Turkey, probably Iraq or Turkey being Media there, that will align with the bear. I have made an end of all the groaning she has caused. In verse 3, for this reason my loins are full of anguish. This is the prophet talking. Pains that seize me like pains of a woman in labor. It doubles him over. I am so bewildered I cannot hear, so terrified I cannot see. God gave him a sense of the very fear that's going to be experienced in regards to the inhabitants of Babylon when this comes. Verse 4, my mind reels, horror overwhelms me. Pick the scariest movie you ever watched. Yeah. Overwhelms the emotional distraught that he experiences here. The twilight I long for has been turned for me into trembling. Is you want to pass out and just escape from this whole vision. That's what he's experiencing. But God's obviously not going to let that happen. And instead, it's there. And he recognizes this is the future of mankind. This is what's going to happen to mankind in the future. Then he goes on to describe other aspects in regards to it. So, the prophet personifies, if you will, in his own emotional response to this whole vision, the type of fear and terror and anguish, etc., that the inhabitants of political Babylon will experience. See, the president will not respond aggressively, but will be timid. So, obviously, this is going to tell you that a president that is in office at this point in time is not truly what we would call a hawk president. Jeremiah 50, verse 43, at least that's what it suggests. Obviously, the fear could quickly turn him from one to the other. So you take that into consideration. Jeremiah 50:43, the king of Babylon, a king obviously being a title for any leader of any nation. Hence, at this point in time in history, most leaders were called kings. The king of Babylon has heard the report about them, and his hands hang limp. They pushed the button, sir. Would you like to go down to the bunker now? No recourse. Distress has gripped him, agony like a woman in childbirth. No, I need to go to the bathroom right now. Thank you. That's the only way I can relate to it. So you will not have a true military leader at the head that will do anything in retaliation in regards to the attack. D, as Revelation 18 makes clear, world leaders financially dependent on the U.S. will mourn. Financially dependent is because of the loans that they've made to our country, the investments. Now they're not going to get paid back. So who's going to buy all their goods, all their products? Like the little tags, America the Beautiful, and you look on the back, it says Made in China, that kind of stuff. You know. At Revelation 18:9, kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sexually with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning. All the pockets that we've been lining, including those who are our enemies. E, foreign business leaders will be hysterical, over her fall. That's verse 15, Revelation 18. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of the torment, weeping and mourning. All the industry leaders, corporate leaders. All those who have been holding hands with the gates of society and the Rockefellers and people of this nature. If communists will be jubilant. Isaiah 13:3. It's a sad state of affairs when you can have a communist country see an evil so despicable to them that it's refreshing to see it eradicated. I have commanded my consecrated ones, those whom God has decreed and dedicated to the annihilation, the prophetic Babylon. I have even called my mighty warriors, my proudly exulting ones, to execute my anger. God is free to use evil countries as a whipping post for other evil countries. Of course, their jubilation will not be everlasting because they'll meet their own end. They'll meet their own demise as a military entity and powerhouse in the world when they want to ultimately take on Yahweh himself, when they think they're going to share in the spoils of Israel along with the Antichrist, etc., as Christ will destroy their entire military for all those involved, obviously. G, on top of that, believers are commanded to rejoice and celebrate. You say, well, that may be hard for me to do that. No, it won't be, because you'll be in your resurrection body and you'll have the full realm of doctrine, and whether you embrace it now or not, you will then. You'll see the righteousness of this. You'll see God's mighty hand being vindicated. And positive evolution in time being vindicated. That's what this is all about. See? Revelation 18:20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. For those who want to oppress us and put pressure on us and try to restrict us in regards to our freedom to worship God. Jeremiah 51:48. Then heaven and earth and all that is in them will shout for joy over Babylon. The destroyers will come to her from the north, declares Yahweh. Finally, got rid of that virus. It's gone now. The one that's making all the other countries sick, spiritually and otherwise. Roman number 15. The United States will fall despite her claim to the contrary. You have the antagonists, those who say, well, where's your God at now, as they try to pummel you and assault you and things of this nature. You weak people, lean on this God, to believe in a God. Call me whatever you want. But one of these days, you're going to be facing him. Take it up with him. But the arrogance that we have adopted as a nation and as a country, that somehow we're invincible. See, that's the arrogance. We're invincible. Of course, this is promoted throughout society, this attitude, this pride. It's promoted in the sports world. It's promoted in the world of school. It's promoted in the military. It's promoted across the board. Academia, that's the word I was trying to think of. Well, our record isn't all that great anymore, quite honestly. Isaiah 47:8-9. Find my verses here. Get back to it. Now then, hear this, you sensual one, who dwells securely, who says in your heart, I am, there is no one beside me. I will not sit as a widow. See, we're here forever. Nor shall I know loss of children. Our country will not be overthrown. Nine, but these two things shall come on you suddenly in one day, loss of children, widowhood. They shall come on you in full measure, in spite of your many sorceries, all of your political shenanigans, financial shenanigans, employing the great merchants and the Federal Reserve and everything on your behalf. You know, that's one of the things that has come out of this whole crisis deal, is let enterprise, let industry take care of this thing. So now we're under the rule of the medical society. They're running our country now. See. And again, I'm not decrying or denouncing any of our authorities otherwise that have been sucked into the syndrome. But if you don't know the doctrine, what else would you do? Even though there are people out there that see through it in spite of not knowing doctrine. Some of it's so obvious. Anyway, get back here. 47:8-9. In spite of your many sorceries, in spite of the great power of your spells, the false illusions that democracy is the best form of government, that's not really what our country is founded on. Our country is founded as a republic. But obviously, we kind of lost that status quite a while back. Democracy is not a good system. Because I'm here to tell you, democracy, the masses rule. And history, if it's shown us anything, it shows us that the masses are almost 100% wrong in regards to things that go on in life. See? And that's exactly what's going on now. Dismantling of our system, of our society, and the way that we generally operate, and trying to bring about the masses the alternative viewpoint and shame people into conforming, etc., etc. See, well, you got to have something like that for a global society to fall for a man that says, "I am God in the flesh. I am Jesus." You know, that's what the Antichrist will be claiming. And you need to conform to me, see. In spite of the great power of your spells, that's the economic influence. Wave the almighty dollar. Revelation 18:7. Getting back to Revelation 18. We read that earlier, I believe. To the degree she glorified herself and lived sensually to the same degree, gave her torment and mourning, for she says in her heart, "I sit as a queen and I am not a widow." Essentially, they're quoting from the Old Testament the same ideology. We'll follow despite point B, her experience in diplomatic affairs. Again, we saw there at verse 9, Isaiah 49, also through verse 15. Pick up verse 47, Isaiah 47:10. "And you felt secure in your wickedness and said, 'No one sees me.'" All the covert activities that goes on. How long has government officials been having private meetings that have really been illegal? Under previous law, governments are not government officials are not supposed to have closed doors meetings. They're supposed to be these things are supposed to be disclosed. They're supposed to be transparent. But anyway, all right. It's not hard to pick on us anymore, I don't guess. "No one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, they have deluded you." We're so smart. We are the new and approved society. New and improved nation. The experiment has been a complete success. "For you have said in your heart, 'I am, there is no one besides me.'" Hence, the whole demeanor, the whole attitude of playing God globally as a country, which we have been doing now for quite a while. Verse 11, "But evil will come on you, which you will not know how to charm away." Where's getting your bag of tricks and figure this one out? "And disaster will fall on you, for which you cannot atone. And destruction by which you do not know will come on you suddenly." We read that. Verse 12, "Stand fast now in your spells and in your many sorceries with which you have labored from your youth." That is a subtle influence to the Masonic influence that has been part of our country from the get-go. Our first president was a Mason. And we understand that influence. The Masonic lodge, the Masons, that cult is properly described in the Book of Revelation as a synagogue of Satan. And obviously you have naive people that are involved in this stuff. And we're not saying that all Masons are unbelievers or anything like that. Any more than all Catholics are unbelievers. People fall for this stuff. Skull and bones, you know, all this stuff that a lot of that are just arms and branches. Perhaps you will be able to profit, verse 12. Perhaps you may cause them trembling, put the fear in people. That's how you tend to try to control populations and others, is make them fearful, get them under their emotions, etc. You are wearied with your many counsels. Verse 13, let now the astrologers, those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moons, those who cling to false doctrine, essentially, see, stand up and save you from what will come upon you. As government surrounds themselves with, quote, religious, end quote, leaders, what kind of advice are they giving them? Are they all millennials, premillennials? Who knows? And there's some, Nancy Reagan, I believe she was, if I remember correctly, she was in astrology. One of those president's wise words, if I disparaged her, I didn't mean to. That's what my mind remembers. Somebody was. I don't think Hillary had enough sense to, but anyway. Stand up and save you from what will come upon you. Verse 14, behold, they have become like stubble. Fire burns them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There will be no coal to warm by the nuclear winter, nor fire to sit before. So have those become to you with whom you have labored, who have trafficked with you from your youth. Got in bed with the queen financially, economically, ideologically, see. Each has wondered in his own way. There is none to save you. What kind of friends are those? When the chips are down, they'll be cowering just like everybody else. Despite our advanced technology, the many satellites that we're now throwing up in space, the 5G, of course you can do all your own research on that kind of stuff. If I remember correctly, you think, well, there's probably maybe 100 or so satellites. There's something like 340 to 400 satellites out there, and by the time they're done with all this, they're hoping to have something like 800 satellites constantly around our planet. And these satellites are emitting radiation all the time. You want to know where global warming is coming from? Part of it? It could be. I'm not saying it is. But obviously, it creates a blanket of energy. I try to forget about 5G, but I can't live them with Anna because she's going, look, there's a new tower. There's a new tower. Right down by our street. That's all right. They put it next to the grade school, so we're cool. So, all this is going on. Whatever Russia comes up with to neutralize our capabilities in regard to military defense, obviously, it's been shown in the past that a nuclear explosion in the atmosphere can neutralize all the satellites and technology and transmission frequencies in mass. So maybe that's what they're going to do. I don't know. But we'll get to watch it on the big screen, I assume. As we sit down enjoying our wedding ceremony at the church, you see, we won't be limited by time then. Not in resurrection body, not with Jesus Christ. So, what all we get to preview, we'll see. Indeed, our past military successes, as great as we've been, time, we were great because God blessed us. We weren't great because God withdrew His blessing. Much of our military agendas of the past half century post World War II were not truly honorable. I'll put it mildly. Jeremiah 50:22-33. The noise of the battle is in the land and great destruction. How the hammer of the whole earth has been cut off and broken. We've been that hammer. How Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. A military first was originated with simply a navy that was to protect our borders. Then armed forces came into view, and the military is designed to defend the United States citizen from foreign attack. But it has been abused and misused, and it is now an arm of the United Nations, even though we still, as a country and government, maintain control over it ultimately. I can't remember that one private's name. He sued the military because they wanted him to serve for the UN. He said, "That is not the oath that I took." No, okay, you're out. Maybe you can remember his name. That was a couple of decades ago, I think about 20 years ago when that happened. So, again, you know, not to diminish veterans or anything of that nature. I mean, I'm one, so I understand that. But to put it in its proper focus, the reality of this stuff, see. And now we're seeing all this thing come to its conclusion of what's going on around the world, and it is nothing more than exercise of fulfilling prophecy in certain aspects, etc., etc. All right, well, I give you enough to chew on tonight. We'll pick this up Sunday. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.